Hello, I'm Christine, and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 29th of January, 2025. Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. Reading for you this week, we have myself, Christine, Angela, Ian, Mina, Simon, and of course, not forgetting Roger. In this week's edition, we have all the latest from Beacon, including an update from Health Watch Wolverhampton. Plus, there's the lifestyle newsletter for February too. We have a full guide to one of the Black Country's key cultural events, the Wolverhampton Literature Festival 2025, and news about a creative writing competition too. We have some more interesting facts with a quiz from Soundings contributor Roger Brooks. There's all the reaction to the weekend's football action for Wolves and West Brom. And we hear from Mina, who hopefully has a much more settled weather forecast for the week ahead. And to celebrate the start of the Wolverhampton Literature Festival, we have some exciting new features beginning this week. So please do listen out for Episode 1 of Leaford Village, our exclusive new drama series written by local authors John Marks and Michael Brackier, with audio also provided by Michael and Leslie Brackier, both of whom you may know from our book club and VIP group activities. Also, keep your ears open for some pitch-perfect piano playing too, as this was composed by someone we appreciate so much here at Beacon. After a poignant performance at Beacon's Forget Me Not service last month, the outstandingly talented pianist Matthew Richards has been kind enough to compose another whirl of wonder for us, a rather catchy theme tune for Leaford Village. Michael and Leslie will also feature in our new podcast-style feature, Round the Reekin, which will champion fascinating accounts of courage and achievement, despite life sometimes taking us the long way round. Local news to start, though, with myself, Christine and Ian, but first, Angela.
The first Wolverhampton Literature Festival took place in 2017 and has been a part of the Wolverhampton cultural calendar since, even running during the COVID-19 pandemic as events were able to take place online. The festival has played host to some notable names from the literary world, as well as from stage and television. Wolverhampton-born journalist and author Sathnam Sangera has been a regular at the festival, talking about his different books, while comedian Robin Ince is also a regular attendee, as is writer and activist Patrick Vernon. Heavy metal legend Rob Halford appeared from his home in Arizona in 2021, while author and commentator Will Self also made an appearance that year, with John Cooper Clarke, Catatonia singer Kerris Matthews, selector singer Pauline Black and comedian Richard Herring having also appeared. Literary giant Irving Welsh was the headliner in 2023, while Sandy Toksvig has graced the stage, as have Phil Wang, Miles Jupp, former snooker world champion Steve Davis and journalist James O'Brien. And this year is no different, as one of the highlights of the Wolverhampton Arts and Culture calendar is returning for another round of talks, seminars, workshops and shows dedicated to literature, poetry and creativity. The 2025 Wolverhampton Literature Festival will bring big names from the world of TV, theatre and music to venues across the city over a busy weekend of events. Ahead of the start of the festival on January the 25th, we put together this list of what is happening, who is appearing, and where you can go to watch the events. It starts on January the 25th with a number of pre-festival events, while the main core of the event is taking place between January the 31st and February the 2nd. Let's head over to Ian, who can tell us more about who is appearing and where.
Comedian and history buff Al Murray, the pub landlord taskmaster, will bring his passion for history to the festival weekend at 1 p.m. on Friday, January the 31st. At Wolverhampton Gallery's Georgian Gallery. In Arnhem, Black Tuesday, he explores the legendary Battle of Arnhem, shedding new light on one of history's heroic failures with his trademark knowledge, wit, and enthusiasm. For music fans, legendary drummer of the Jam, Rick Buckler, will be bringing us a night of memories at the Robin 2, as he shares stories from a career which included 18 consecutive top 40 singles, and defined a generation. He is appearing on Friday, January the 31st at 7:30 p.m. at the Robin. Jordan Stevens, actor and author and one half of duo Rizzle Kicks, will discuss fame, ADHD and modern masculinity, offering a deeply personal perspective on mental health and identity. He is appearing on Saturday, February the 1st at 7:30 p.m. at Wolverhampton Gallery's Georgian Gallery. Abby Darray returns to discuss her powerful sequel to The Girl with the Louding Voice, continuing her exploration of resilience and empowerment. She is appearing on Saturday, February the 1st at Wolverhampton Art Gallery's Georgian Gallery. Shapi Korsandi will present Scatterbrain, a hilarious and heartfelt reflection on her life through the lens of ADHD. Shapi's journey of self-discovery will entertain, enlighten, and resonate with audiences. She is appearing on Sunday, February the 2nd at Bilston Town Hall. Activist and speaker Patrick Vernon, joined by collaborator Yancy Ralston, will present their book Black Grief and Healing, which explores the unique experience of loss in the Black community and the impact of misunderstood rituals and traditions. Ashley John Baptiste, TV presenter and broadcaster, shares his moving story of growing up in the British care system. His journey of resilience and self-discovery will inspire audiences of all backgrounds. Mark Billingham will discuss his latest book, The Wrong Hands, alongside local favourite Mark Edwards. While Jim Bob from Carter USM will attempt to explain where songs come from, how they got there, and maybe even why. Author Anjali Q. Ralph introduces her latest novel, The Letter with the Golden Stamp, a heartful and suspenseful story which dives into the world of young carer Audrey, who juggles school, her own dreams, and the immense responsibility of caring for her sick mother and siblings, all while guarding secrets only she knows. Sohan Kaley returns to the festival for another Bangra pirate adventure, with plenty of opportunities for young pirates to dance and play along in a joyful, silly, funny and comical show, which features lots of interactive storytelling, fun games, music, dancing and puppetry. Marvel nut Helen Comerford will be holding an interactive session where participants will write their own superhero. The workshop will include research, analysis, creative writing, and even some drawing.
The main core of the events are taking place at Wolverhampton Art Gallery, but there are different venues across Wolverhampton where shows are taking place. The Arena Theatre on Wolfruna Street will host several events, and the City Library on Snow Hill will be the setting for workshops and several Meet the Artist events. Elsewhere, the Robin in Bilston will be the setting for Rick Buckler's appearance. The Mander Centre Community Hub will host events and Chaparak Korsandi will bring the festival to a close at Bilston Town Hall. While the New Hampton Arts Centre on Dunkley Street will host several events in its theatre, including Wolverhampton's own Rob Manuel, who brings his million follower social media sensation Fess Hall to the New Hampton Arts Centre for some of the internet's naughtiest, funniest, cringiest confessions. Now that sounds Boston. Let's find out some more.
From the funny to the absurd, to the downright shocking. It's set to be a homecoming performance for the man behind an internet sensation based around the art of anonymous confession. Rob Manuel will bring the most cringy, funny, shocking and bizarre confessions to the stage of the New Hampton Centre in Wolverhampton on Thursday night as he presents Fesshole Live. It will be a glimpse into the world of Fesshole, a portal into the human mind on Twitter, Blue Sky and Instagram, where people are able to send in confessions that they want to share anonymously and which Rob sifts through and posts online. Rob, who was born in Wolverhampton, started the site 5 years ago and said it had come from trying out a few online ideas and finding that the confession site worked. He said, "I'd put together a lot of internet projects just for the hell of it, and I was messing around with this idea one afternoon and put out a message to ask if people wanted to submit some confessions. I put them up and then left it for a few months with nothing published, but a couple of people got in touch and asked what had happened to it and why wasn't I getting on with it. I think there's just something fundamentally interesting about the idea of confessions, and it just intrigues people because it's the promise that you're going to receive something new that you didn't know." Rob said he had probably read more than 250,000 confessions since starting Fesshole, and said that his editorial rule for publishing a confession was if it was funny or interesting, it would make it in. He said it was an odd experience at times to be on the other side and never be the one to have to confess, although he did admit to having a good one if he ever felt the need to do so. He said, "My own confession would be that the Connaught Hotel used to do club nights, and I'd get in free by going upstairs into the bar, buy cigs from the machine, and then going downstairs and waving the cigs while saying, 'I just went upstairs to buy these.'" Some of the most popular ones have had hundreds of thousands of likes or favourites, with one getting 156,000 favourites. This one was, "Our 8-year-old daughter lost her hearing and had to learn to sign, but struggled at first as none of her friends knew how to talk to her. One day, I noticed our Labrador run to the treat cupboard after she signed 'treat' to her. In the absence of friends, our dog had learned to sign language for her." Rob said that some of the confessions which were his favourites followed his rule of interesting or funny, such as, "Lied to my boss about spending a voluntary charity day at a local nature reserve for a free day off. Popped along to get a photo as proof, met some volunteers and spent the day helping them. Had a great time. Can't work out if I'm ahead or not." As well as, "Adopted a failed police dog who was given up for rehoming. Always been a brilliant addition to the family. Loving, caring, protective. Started to wonder why the cops rejected him. Then we took him to the woods, where he saw a squirrel, got scared, and ran headfirst into a tree. And I once met a girl at a night out, but in the morning I couldn't remember her name, so I took her to Starbucks for a coffee." Rob also spoke about the live show, which he joked was like Bob Dylan's never-ending tour, as it seemed to have no end, and spoke about what people could expect to see on the night. He said, "The show came from me doing work presentations and my instinct was to make it funny. And people would tell me afterwards how funny it was and how much it was like a stand-up show, which was never the intention. More a way to get through a presentation to 100 people. It helped me with this show, however, as I decided to take that model and make sure the slides are funny, tell a bit of a story and then go back to my journalistic days when I was doing all these kinds of listicle stories. I used that structure and made it into 14 life lessons I've learned from reading 250,000 confessions, which just gives people an insight into what I've learned along the way." Fesshole Live is broken down into two halves, with the first section seeing Rob, who dresses up in a full cardinal costume, go through classic confessions and the life lessons, while the second half brings the audience into the show, as Rob will go through confessions left by the audience at the start of the show. Those confessions will be put up on screen and the person responsible will be invited to come up and talk about it. Something Rob described as cathartic, very funny, and an experience that can only be had by turning up and experiencing it. He said that the hometown gig might be a funny one for him, as he said that he knew some boys during his school days at Smestow School who would walk up to him and hold their hands over his ginger hair, which he said was under the pretext of his hair being on fire. Rob said that Fesshole had become bigger than he had ever imagined and spoke about how he felt it had changed him. He said, "I've just thought up a true answer to the question I occasionally get of, has reading 5 years of unfiltered confessions changed you? Yep, I no longer will use a bottle of shampoo accidentally left in a gym shower. I don't have to spell out why, as your worst assumption is probably right." Fesshole Live takes place at the New Hampton Arts Centre on Dunkley Street in Wolverhampton on Thursday, with doors opening at 7:30 p.m. and tickets starting from £18.
Next up, we have another block of local news.
Time now for an update from Healthwatch Wolverhampton. Healthwatch Wolverhampton is one of the region's local health and social care champions that makes sure NHS leaders and other decision makers hear your voice and use your feedback to improve care. Currently, Healthwatch are supporting NHS England in making sure people from all parts of our community have the opportunity to share their views on the future of healthcare. This is a pivotal chance for Healthwatch to help the public have their say on how the NHS should deliver better care where and when it is needed, offer more support to help people stay well, and foster a culture that listens to and acts on patients' feedback. We know that too often access to care is unequal, with disabled people and those on lower incomes among those facing the greatest challenges. So please can I encourage as many people as possible to attend. In particular, groups who so far are underrepresented in responses. This includes people from Black, Asian and minority ethnic communities, people under 35 and men, whose input is vital in shaping a truly inclusive health system. So where will the event take place? The venue is Blakenhall Action Community Forum Centre, Dudley Road, Wolverhampton, WV2 3BY. The date is Tuesday, the 4th of February, 2025. The time, 10 to 1pm. Refreshments are provided. We will have Love to Shop vouchers up for grabs on the day as a thank you for taking part. Please let us know if you would like to attend. Telephone 0800 246 5018 or email Harianne, that's HARRIANNE, Creswell at healthwatchwolverhampton.co.uk. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. Now it's time to test your knowledge, as we have the quiz questions for this edition. Take it away, Roger.
Hello, a literary quiz now from me, Roger Brooks. Question one. What was the name of the book which starts, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times"? Question two. Who wrote Pride and Prejudice? Question 3. Who wrote Gulliver's Travels? Question 4. We'll start with the author this time. Alexandre Dumas had two very famous books. What were they? Question 5. Who wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Question 6. What instrument did Ace Detective of Baker Street Sherlock Holmes play? And we won't accept the pipe. Question 7. Another private eye question. Who was Raymond Chandler's private eye hero? Raymond Chandler's private eye hero. Likewise, question 8. Who was Ian Rankin's hero policeman? Policeman, not Private Eye, Policeman by Ian Rankin. Question 9. Who wrote Wuthering Heights? Who wrote Wuthering Heights? Question 10. On which book is the musical My Fair Lady based? And our final question. Which high-flying hero complained that the problem with eating caviar was that you never got enough toast? Snobby-ish hero, also now the hero of many a film.
Cheers for those questions, Roger. I'll get my mind working on them. Time now to find out about all that's planned for the month ahead, as it's the Beacon Lifestyle newsletter for February.
Welcome to February 2025. Hi everyone, and I hope you had a lovely start to the new year and are ready to join us in celebrating Beacon's 150th anniversary. 2025 is going to be such an incredibly amazing year. Now, what have we got planned this month, and how can we support you with your sight loss journey? Check out all that and more in this newsletter. VIP sessions. These sessions are held monthly and the activities are designed collaboratively to meet its members' needs. They are all a friendly bunch of people with sight loss who like to try new activities, build friendships, and encourage each other to live life to the full. Each meeting costs £3.50. If you'd like to be a part of a community that truly understands your experiences and you wish to attend or find out more, please email or call KD, kjohns@beaconvision.org, or Daniel, dclark@beaconvision.org, or call 01902 880111. VIP Beacon. This group is at Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV46AZ. Sessions is 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. On Wednesday, the 26th of February, we will be having our very own karaoke night. Want to serenade someone in this month of love, or just sing your heart out to your favourite tunes? Come along and book in advance. VIP Queen's Cross. This group meets at Queen's Cross Network, Wellington Road, DY11RB in the Cafe Plaza. This is the first Friday of every month, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Refreshments are available to purchase at the venue. On Friday, the 7th of February, we will be making some lovely Valentine's Day biscuits. One to celebrate with some sweet treats for your love, or even for yourself. Come and do some baking and decorating with us. VIP Brett Young. This group is at Brett Young Gateway, Old Horn Lane, Halsowin, B633ST. You are able to purchase tea and coffee at the venue. Sessions are 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. every second Monday of the month. On Monday, the 10th of February, we will also be making some Valentine's Day biscuits. Come join us. February sessions. To book on, contact Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org, or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org. Or call 01902 880111. Tuesday, the 4th of February, come along to our booking session at Beacon Quartz Residence Lounge, 10 a.m. to 12. Call to book onto activities for February in the afternoon, 1 till 3:30. Katie and Dan will be available to take bookings and payments over the phone for anyone who can't attend the drop-in. Thursday, the 6th of February, book club in the residence lounge, 10:30 till 12. We're a lovely group who loves to talk all things books and always on the hunt for new authors and books to read. The price is £2.50. Tea and coffee and biscuits available for you to enjoy while discussing your recent finds. We also provide talking books from our nearest library for you to borrow. Friday, the 14th of February, West Park Walk. £2.50 for the walk and £5.50 if you would like transport from Beacon. We will be leaving Beacon at 10:30 and you can meet us at the park if you would wish. Thursday, the 20th of February, Pop-Up Cinema. This film, this month, is Sing. As it's half term, why don't you bring along the kids? This film is fun for all the family. Costs £5 and will take place in the Residence Lounge, 10:30 start. Friday, the 21st of February, walk at Bagbridge. Leaving Beacon at 10:30, activity costs £2.50 and minibus costs £5.50. Monday, the 24th of February, as highly requested, indoor bowls. This will take place at the Beacon Gym at 10 a.m. till 12, costs £2.50. Friday, the 28th of February, 10-pin bowling. Two games for £7 pay activity. Activity costs £2.50 and minibus costs £5.50. We will be leaving Beacon at 10:30. Our group loves to find new players. See if you can get the highest score. Community Activity Volunteers. To all our volunteers, I want to thank you for your dedication to working with us to deliver our community activities on behalf of Beacon Community Activities team. We would like to invite you to meet with us to share tea, biscuits and your ideas and thoughts of future possible activities. We are proposing to meet on Monday the 17th of February, 1:30 till 3. Please contact Katie or Dan to let us know if you're available to attend.
Beacon Gym. Want to exercise with a fun and supportive atmosphere? Want to join classes or exercise independently? Are you someone who works out regularly or wants to start? Contact Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111 to book in. The gym is open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. It costs £5 per session or you can have a membership which is £22 per month. You must complete a health questionnaire and induction before you start your exercise journey. Please let reception know when you're going into the gym. Beacon Health Checks. On Thursday the 13th of February, we're providing a drop-in session from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. in the gym. People to come and have their BMI checked over by myself, Dan. You'll be able to ask me for any tips and tricks to help you with your health, fitness and nutrition. While at this check, you are more than welcome to obviously take a look around our gym facilities and ask me any questions and feel free to book in for an induction to become one of our members. Now this health check is free of charge to anyone on gym membership and it's £5 for anyone that is not on gym membership. Your health is our priority. The picture on the right is a fruit. Wall Foundation. To book on, contact Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111. The booking form is on the back of this newsletter. On Tuesday the 11th and Tuesday the 25th of February, we're going to the Walls Foundation in Aldersley. There is a multi-sport session that will be running twice a month until the end of March. It's free and we'll be leaving Beacon at 10:15 a.m. on these dates. On Thursday the 6th and Thursday the 20th of February, the Walls Foundation will be in our day centre from 10:30 a.m. till 12 p.m. These sessions are also free. Picture below is of the Walls logo. The Sight of Sound. To book on, contact Katie Johns, kjohns@beaconvision.org or Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111. The sessions will be running on Wednesday the 5th of February and Wednesday the 19th of February from 1 p.m. till 2:30 p.m. in the day centre. And the sessions are free. And you'll be enjoying engaging drumming workshops that ignite creativity. No prior experience is required. The workshops will be held throughout February and March. And it's led by professional drumming expert Mendy Singh. Bring everyday objects such as tins, bowls, pots or mugs and get involved.
Groups that age 18 to 35. Are you 18 to 35 with sight loss and want a place to socialise? Would you like to start your own confidence building journey? Would you like a place to feel included in this sight loss community? Thursday, the 27th of February, we are hosting a Teams meeting for all of you to come together with our team and tell us what you would like to do. We are looking to start groups and activities specifically for this age range and want to make sure your voices are heard. Have any activities you'd like to do? Only can do certain days or times? Come let us know so we can build a group that can fit into your routine with your interests. Email kjohns@beaconvision.org or dclark@beaconvision.org or even call 01902 880 111 if you are interested so we can send you a link to join. Meet the staff. Now then, did you know visual hallucinations can occur as a result of sight loss? And up to half of all people with eye conditions, such as macular degeneration, are thought to experience visual hallucinations at some point. When visual hallucinations happen as a result of sight loss, they are known as Charles Bonnet syndrome, or CBS for short. Charles Bonnet hallucinations can be simply unformed flashes of light and shapes, or more elaborate vivid forms, such as landscaped gardens, animals, or people. It's not easy to talk about what you are experiencing. And if you do feel as though you may need some support, Beacon does now have a safe space where you can speak in confidence and talk about new coping strategies with our Esme's Umbrella CBS champion, Satvir Singh Sahota. Sat is on our sight loss advisor team and also the Talking News coordinator. So for a little more help, you can self-refer to Sat by emailing ssahota@beaconvision.org or contacting Sat on 07 849 802 703. If you'd like to know more about Charles Bonnet syndrome in the meantime, have a look at the charity Esme's Umbrella. Sight loss advisors. Here are some sight loss tips from our incredible sight loss advisors. If you would like to book an appointment, please email inquiries@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111. Hints and tips. Struggling keeping socks together? You could use safety pins by pinning matching socks together. They can go into the washer and dryer that way and stay matched, or always buy the same colour socks. Unless you like the odd socks look, of course. 20-20-20. Take a break from your screens every 20 minutes and look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. Looking at screens for too long can cause eye strain. And lastly, have an eye test at least every 2 years, or more frequently if you're advised to do so. Sometimes people can have more than one eye condition, so early detection can lead to prevention. Don't lose the sight you have. Continue the Beacon legacy one coin at a time. Will you save your loose change for Beacon? Contact reception for your loose change box today and start making a big difference. When you are ready to return your collection box, you can bring it into our reception team at Sedgley, or you can contact the fundraising team to process the money you've raised. Alternatively, you can drop it off in one of our charity shops. Charity Fashion Show. Tickets are £15 with a glass of Prosecco on arrival, Tuesday the 25th of February 2025. The show starts at 6:30 at Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV46AZ. All proceedings will go to the Mayor's charities, Beacon, Age UK Wolverhampton and Samaritans. Warmth and Welcome Hub. Come join our Warmth and Welcome Hub, a place where you can keep warm, can socialise with others, get a hot drink and a snack. We will be discussing helpful tips on keeping warm during the winter weather and saving energy. Sessions are completely free. You will also receive a free Keep Warm, Keep Healthy pack. Sessions will be held at Beacon Centre on the following dates. Monday the 3rd of February 11 till 1, Friday the 7th of February 11 till 1, Monday the 10th of February 1 till 3, Friday the 14th of February 1 till 3, Monday the 17th of February 11 till 1, Friday the 21st of February 11 till 1, Monday the 24th of February 1 till 3, Friday the 28th of February 1 till 3. Further sessions will be held in March. For more details and information, please contact inquiries at beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111.
Sedgley Lifestyle Centre. We are open Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday from 10am to 3pm at our base in Sedgley. We run several activities each day, including cookery, crafting, pottery, computer work, gym sessions, listening to music, quizzes and reminiscing. We keep well hydrated with tea, coffee and water, and we have the restaurant to attend to for a hot meal if we don't bring our sandwiches with us. We are lively, fun and love to have a laugh. Why not come and join us for a trial day? Contact Beacon's reception and ask for more information. You can call us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries at beaconvision.org. Now, how would you like to help combat loneliness? Well, if you have 30 minutes free during the week, then as a befriending volunteer, you could do just that. Beacon's Befriending Service is here to offer friendship, support and help to anyone who may be feeling isolated and or lonely. As a volunteer, you will be paired with someone based on common interests and all volunteering is flexible to suit your needs. So it could be arranged for support to be provided over the phone. If you're interested, contact our team by calling 01902 880111 or emailing inquiries at beaconvision.org.
Accommodation at Beacon Court. Each apartment at Beacon Court has its own front door, individual card access, two bedrooms, store, wet/shower room, kitchen with appliances, gas central heating and double glazed windows. Beacon provides 24/7 care team on site to deal with any emergencies 365 days of the year. There's a pull cord in each apartment that can raise an emergency. You also get 30 minutes a week of a wellbeing time call to go through anything you would like help with, such as post or paying bills. If you want any further information on accommodation at Beacon Court, please contact Sophie Jones on 01902 882 170 or email sophie.jones@bromford.co.uk.
Now, with this week marking the start of Wolverhampton's Literature Festival, we thought we would let you know about a competition that is being organised by the RNIB. With details about how visually impaired children are being encouraged to enter a creative writing competition to tie into World Book Day, let's head over to Soundings contributor Heather.
Hello, this is Heather with news about a creative writing competition for visually impaired children being organised by RNIB as part of World Book Day. World Book Day takes place every year in March to encourage children to read. The RNIB plays a part in the celebrations by promoting audio and braille versions of books for visually impaired children. This year, though, the RNIB is going further by encouraging visually impaired children to enter its World Book Day creative writing competition. The competition is open to any child or young person in the UK aged between 5 and 12 and who has a visual impairment. No previous creative writing experience is needed. Closing date for entries is midnight on Friday the 14th of February 2025, so encourage your young VI friends and family to get writing now. The theme for the competition is friendship, and entries must be original writing, either in prose or poetry, and up to a maximum of 500 words. The use of artificial intelligence, such as ChatGPT, is not allowed. Entries must be written in English or Welsh, and there is a limit of only one entry per author. They must be received by midnight on the 14th of February. Email entries can be submitted as a Word document, a BRF file, an MP3 audio file, or an MP4 video file. They will need the words WBD competition in the email subject line and should be sent to worldbookdays@rnib.org.uk. Hard copy entries in print or braille can be posted to World Book Day Competition, RNIB, the Grimaldi Building, that's GRIMALDI, at 154A Pentonville Road, London, N19JE. And that address again is RNIB, the Grimaldi Building, 154A Pentonville Road, London, N19JE. Please clearly mark World Book Day Competition on the envelope. Author of the popular The Soccer Diaries books, Tom Palmer, will be judging the competition, and the winner will receive a signed set of Tom's books in their preferred format.
Up now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own Sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, it's Mina here. After a rather cold and dreary week of weather, it does look as though the forecast is set to remain rather dull and damp for the week ahead. But thankfully, the winds should remain much calmer for the week ahead. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:45 a.m. for the sunrise and 5 p.m. for the sunset. Friday temperatures will remain at around 7 degrees. But it is looking as though it will be a day full of rain, but the showers should begin to ease as we head into the evening. This pattern of weather shall continue as we move into the weekend and, believe it or not, into a new month already, with persistent showers expected for Saturday 1st and Sunday 2nd of February. Temperatures should continue to hold up well at 8 degrees and, like Friday, there is a chance we will see the best of the weather in the afternoon on both Saturday and Sunday, with some short sunny spells expected. However, the rain looks like it's going to stay with us as we move into next week, with showers expected from Monday 3rd of February and continuing right through to Thursday 6th of February. However, these should begin to be less frequent and fizzle out by the time we get to the end of the week, allowing for some dry sunny spells to dominate. Temperatures will continue to remain at around average for this time of year at 8 degrees. Well, there we have it. Some brighter notes to end the forecast with. Do take care, have a wonderful week, and enjoy the weather.
Cheers for that weather update, Mina. Now it's time to find out how our local football teams have been getting on.
Tony Mowbray's Albion turned on their attacking quality as they ran all over a sorry Portsmouth side in his first home game since returning to the Hawthorns. Mowbray went into his return to the Hawthorns on the back of a whirlwind 7 days that saw him return to the club before he oversaw a disappointing 2-0 defeat at Middlesbrough on Tuesday. On his second Hawthorns bow, it was a different story entirely, as Albion blew Pompey away with 4 goals in the space of 20 first half minutes, before adding a fifth in the second half. It could have been more, as Albion ran riot at times to lift them up to fifth and hand Mowbray his first win as Baggy's boss. Make no mistake though, it won't be like this against stronger sides further up the league, but there have been big strides made in this 5-1 victory. And it's been another step backwards for Wolves as they fell to their fourth consecutive Premier League defeat with a lacklustre performance at home to Arsenal. The London club dominated the first half, but were not clinical enough with their chances before Miles Lewis Skelly was given a straight red card to hand Wolves the man advantage. But Wolves were unable to make the numerical advantage count and failed to fashion any clear-cut opportunities in the second half before João Gomes picked up his second yellow card to even the numbers, with 20 minutes still remaining. Wolves' worst fears were then realised moments later when Ricardo Calafiori struck to give the Gunners a late lead. The hosts could not respond despite making attacking changes and slumped to another defeat, which, after Leicester's rallying victory over Tottenham on Sunday, leaves Wolves precariously placed in the bottom three, with both Aston Villa and Liverpool to come next.
Wolves fan just reporting on Wolves 0, Arsenal 1. I thought we played very well during the game. I felt we lacked that cutting edge that's needed to secure a surprise win, but I still thought they were competent. They played very well, and I heard about them a bit of credit, but we've at least a bit of credit anyway, so I think we may need to get at least another defender in, and we need to start taking more long during the game. Yeah, that's it. Bye. Thank you.
Now we have the quiz
answers
for this edition. Take it away, Roger.
Hello, Roger, back again with the question to our literary quiz, in which we had the bizarre number of 11 questions. So I hope you got 12 out of those correct, if you follow my reasoning. Question one. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. That's the very opening line of a very long paragraph of comparing this being good and that being bad and all the rest of it by Charles Dickens. And it was A Tale of Two Cities. As somebody said the other day, Charles Dickens never underwrote. Everything had plenty of explanation and exposition. Question two. Pride and Prejudice was written by Jane Austen. Question three. Gulliver's Travels, written by Jonathan Swift. Question four. Alexandre Dumas' most famous two novels were The Three Musketeers and The Count of Monte Cristo. Question five. Who wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Dong, 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 dong. It was Ian Fleming in one of his more flippant modes. Question six. Which instrument did Sherlock Holmes play? It was the violin. Question seven. Raymond Chandler's private eye was called Philip Marlowe. Philip Marlowe. Question eight. Ian Rankin's policeman hero was John Rebus. R-E-B-U-S. John Rebus. Question nine. Wuthering Heights was written by Emily Bronte. Question ten. On which book is My Fair Lady based? It was George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion. Pygmalion. And question 11. Which high-flying fictional hero complained, "The only problem with eating caviar is you never get enough toast"? That was Bond. James Bond. A man who could put away seven bottles of booze and still win at cards. How I envy him. There's your literary answers, literally 11 of them.
Thank you all for tuning in to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. It's wonderful to have you all here with us. Time now to grab yourselves a cuppa, find your comfy spot and nestle down, as we've got some rather exciting new features coming up. We are pleased to now introduce local author and musical duo Michael and Leslie Brachia in our new podcast star segment, Round the Reeking, which will champion fascinating accounts of courage and achievement despite life sometimes taking us, well, round the reeking, and the long way round. Michael and Leslie will also introduce to you our exclusive new drama series, Leaford Village, that even features a catchy theme tune, composed by the outstandingly talented pianist Matthew Richards. To note, Leaford Village will be running once a month on the Talking News, so stay tuned for tales of some ordinary and not so ordinary village folk of Leaford.
and welcome to Around the Wrekin with Mike and Leslie.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Leslie. Listeners will pick up right away that I'm not from the Midlands. I'm originally from Lancashire, but I did live in Telford for over 30 years, moved to the Stourbridge area 2 years ago. But Mike, you're very local, aren't you?
Yes, I was born in Sedgley, just a few hundred yards from the Beacon Centre, and the hospital where I was born many years ago isn't there now, and it's a housing estate. But I've lived my whole life in Dudley, and as you know, I live in Stourbridge now.
Some listeners might have met us at the Beacon Centre as either author Michael Brackier and his lovely assistant, or as the musical duo Second Chance, or indeed both. I think the story of how we met and formed the musical duo might be one for another time. But for today, shall we talk about your writing, and in particular Leaford Village? It's described as a tale of ordinary and not-so-ordinary village folk. So what gave you the original idea for Leaford Village?
Well, my favourite author is Alexander McCall Smith, and he writes, amongst other things, the 44 Scotland Street series of novels, originally published as episodes in the Scotsman newspaper. I love reading the day-to-day life of the characters who are fictional. Now, Scotland Street is a real street in Edinburgh, but as I say, the characters are fictional, and so it's the stories are made up, and I just love that idea. I also used to listen to The Archers on Radio 4, and I decided I wanted to write a kind of soap opera, but not with all the farming of, you know, The Archers. And what I decided to do was take a real place, King Swinford, near to where I lived, in the Dudley area, and create a fictional village based on that, and I called it Leaford Village. That's L-E-E-F-O-R-D. And it was McCall Smith who inspired me to write this. And really, that's how it all started.
And so, do you write Leaford Village on your own?
No, I mean, I created the original concept in 2017 on my own. And originally, I was going to write this soap opera. I was just getting into writing. I'd already written two books, and this is what I wanted to do next. But for various reasons, for 2 years, I did nothing with it at all. But my friend John Marks, who is an author, and he lives in York, we were chatting about this, and I wrote an episode and sent it to him, and he absolutely loved it. So he did a follow-up episode, and we talked about it, and incredibly, we called that one episode two.
I suppose that makes some sort of sense.
And then I wrote episode three. Mm-hmm. Before we knew what we were doing, where we were, we got six episodes.
Right.
So it's a very long story, but eventually various things happened, and a journalist at the Express and Star got interested, and she sent a photographer down to the house, to my house. John travelled down from York, did the photo shoot, did the interview, and we ended up with a big half-page spread in the Express and Star,
right,
about the very unusual way we were writing. And eventually, the managing editor of the Express and Star contacted me later in the year and said, we can't put it in the newspaper. A regular serial doesn't fit what we want to do, but we'll put it on the website. So in September 2019, episode one appeared on expressandstar.com with an article in the newspaper telling everyone about it.
Right.
Okay. And that lasted for 4 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm intrigued now because obviously you're down here and John's in York. So how does the co-writing work?
Right. Well, basically, the quick answer is by email.
Uh-huh.
But we had to put in a structure because if you're co-writing an episode, a single episode, that's really difficult.
Yeah.
So as I say, I wrote number one, he wrote number two, but we do edit each other's work.
Right.
So he would take the first episode that I wrote and we put some strict ground rules in. We can only edit spelling mistakes, grammatical errors, and continuity errors.
Oh, that's things like you can't have your bury your grandmother twice.
That's right. Well, certainly not in the same week.
No.
Maybe 4 years later, if everyone's forgotten about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's right. And also we said that they had to be between 1,500 and 1,700 words.
Okay.
Where that comes from, we both used to read Writing magazine for writers. And all their competitions are between 1,500 and 1,700. It's the typical size of a short story.
Right.
So we decided that was a very good basis for the length of an episode. So that's that. So yeah, so we bounce the episodes between each other, editing them as we go. And one thing is, we're not allowed to change someone's storyline. If he does a storyline that I don't like, I can't edit that.
No.
But what I can do, in my next episode, I can take the story off at a massive tangent. So he might have someone moving to Devon to retire, and I might bring him back.
Right.
Or kill him off. dump him in the Severn.
Yeah. A bit unpredictable then. So, but you're bouncing off each other's ideas as well.
Each other's ideas. But we try to make sure there's a flow. But so that's it. Yeah. Does that answer?
Yes, yeah? Thank you. Yeah. So, listeners, you've heard Mike explain how the light drama serial Leaford Village has come about. And in a few minutes, we'll be reading the first ever episode. We've had to convert the text into a radio script format, so it might sound slightly different to the original episode published on Expression Star website. We'll be introduced to 10 of the characters that Mike's created in the world of Leaford Village. And Mike and John have actually written 138 episodes in total, and there's now nearly 70 characters. But there's 10 or a dozen main ones that appear regularly and keep us entertained and amused. Before we go ahead and read episode one, just a few words about future editions of Around the Wrekin with Mike and Leslie. We'll explain how we met and how music has become central to our lives. And Mike will talk more about his other writing apart from Leaford Village.
Yeah.
Another thing that we like to talk about is now I live in the West Midlands, Mike's teaching me some Black Country dialect. And because I'm half Yorkshire and half Lancashire, we often talk about accents and dialects. So that's something else we'll cover in a future edition.
We done, don't we?
Oh.
That's right. Hopefully we'll get time to talk about all that. But for now, we hope you've all enjoyed this edition of Around the Wrekin with Mike and Leslie.
And so now, here is the first ever episode of Leaford Village.
Leaford Village, written by Michael Bruckier and John Marks. Read by Michael Bruckier and Leslie Clayton. Episode 1, No Place Like Nome.
A small village on the western edge of Banfield, a Midlands town many years ago known for heavy industry and mining. A quiet place, bordering the countryside sweeping west, land that climbs over the Welsh mountains until it reaches the Irish Sea. Leaford may be quiet, but its characters and their activities keep the village alive and vibrant. None more so than Vera Cleave, who is in danger of falling into a life of crime, the sort of crime many people wouldn't even notice or care about. Gnomes. She loves them, does Vera. Any sort of gnome, not just the bearded guy sitting on a stool fishing all day. No, Vera will collect any gnome from anywhere. Living opposite the vicarage in Market Street has given her lots of opportunities to add to her collection. The Reverend John Peterson and his family have a huge garden, ideal for fates. And his wife Hilda also has a liking for gnomes. She has been known to scour Amazon or eBay for the gnomes she wants. The last order she placed was for a Posh and Bex pair. No accounting for taste. Gnomes have been going missing all over the village for years. The Great Leaford Gnome Mystery is not really a mystery at all. Everyone knows it's Vera. But 2 years ago, Hilda Peterson had an embarrassing run-in with Sergeant Miller when someone had an entire West Bromwich Albion team of gnomes stolen from their front garden.
But Hilda, the evidence is there for everyone to see. In your garden.
Stephen, you're not going to be stupid, are you?
Sergeant Miller when I'm on duty, if you don't mind.
All right, Sergeant Miller. You can call me Mrs. Peterson. Anyway, what makes you think I did the great Albion Gnome heist?
Well...
spluttering over the cappuccino he collected before confronting the suspect.
Hill, Mrs. Peterson, the Albion team disappeared from a garden in Green Crescent, not 150 yards away. And well, they're here, in your garden.
I have a receipt from Amazon. Bought them 2 weeks ago.
It takes Hilda 5 minutes to produce said receipt, the colour draining from the policeman's face.
Stephen, I'm not the only person who likes gnomes. Might I suggest you cross the road and check in the Cleve back garden? Life can be strange in Leaford. For the last 6 weeks, Swedish phrases have been found written in various places in the village. On beer mats in the Cross, the local pub, on the advertising board at Spenfield Supermarket. They've also been found on scraps of paper left in books in the library. The phrases are usually accompanied by diagrams of the Swedish flag and a drawing of a moose, maybe an elk. No one seems to have sufficient knowledge to decide. The phrases themselves are nondescript, even mundane. It's as if the artist, or linguist, is making basic statements or asking questions. We only know this because, by chance, Ted Coleman, publican, has been doing a basic online Swedish course. Well, Ted, what the hell does this mean then? Inquires Doug.
Du har en tidning, says Ted.
Good tidings. Christmas thing, is it?
No, it means, do you have a newspaper? Doug Taylor, a young man obviously impressed by the knowledge of his elders, places another beer mat on the bar.
What about this one, Ted?
Strange one, this one, Doug. Vagen tar en ren. The wolf takes a reindeer.
They have reindeer in Sweden, don't they?
Yes, but why tell people in Leaford Village about wolves chasing reindeer? George Dennis, a retired teacher, is popular in the village. No one takes him seriously, particularly his wife Clara. He does have a rather strange habit. Yes, me old drainpipe, the poor old girl is simply lonely. Craves male company.
She's got you, George. Doug forever helpful.
You don't understand, old potato. She needs canine company.
Well, she is a poodle. Depressed, you say.
Old fruit, you've hit the nail on the head. But any concrete suggestions?
Frank Watson can't take any more. He likes George, but making a fuss about a dog, and a poodle at that, is not in his makeup. 9 years younger than the ex-teacher, and still running a business in East Banfield, he convinces himself that he, F. Watson, has his feet on the ground. That doesn't include pampering to poodles. For pity's sake, George, nip down the RSPCA and ask for a boyfriend for Tiddles.
Chloe, if you don't mind, young ginger biscuit.
Chloe, you've got to be kidding, says Frank.
After my second wife. She ran off, like the first.
You've had no more luck than Chloe, observed Doug, trying to sympathise.
Ted Coleman steps in, urging his regulars to contribute to his meagre income for that day. He encourages banter, but had a distinct preference for the type of banter that could be pursued whilst holding a container for a drink in one hand or the other. Come on, lads, let's get some refills in, eh?
Hey, Ted, inquires Frank. Have you seen that strange bloke hanging around?
What strange bloke?
You know, duffel coat, scruffy hair, complete stranger. He scuttled away to the library when I tried to say hello.
Probably one of those refugees the council had brought in, says Ted.
That must be it, replied Frank. Banfield Council had decided to take 50 Syrian refugees. Most of them were allocated places in the high-rise flat of East Banfield. However, a family of four was offered a flat above the shops in Leaford. This had been unoccupied for over a year. Everyone you speak to in the village sympathises with the refugees, but it seems that more than a whiff of NIMBYism can be detected if one searches for it. The empty flat, above the fish and chip shop, needed extensive renovation. Cody and Agnes Thornton, who run the shop, found the whole process particularly disruptive. Sadly, the Thorntons seemed to place the burden of responsibility on the family earmarked for the flat.
Why here, Agnes?
Cody, you're asking the wrong person. I'm on your side. Phone the council.
Waste of time. It always seems to be you and me that cop for it.
Not always, love. We've done okay.
Until now. Anyway, I'm off to the Cross, says Cody. All shades of opinion on any matter are heard in the Cross, and everyone was asked for their thoughts. Cody no exception as he enters the pub.
What's your take on it, Cody? Asked Doug.
What about?
The refugee.
No, Doug, we don't know he's a refugee, contributes Ted. What does he look like? Asks Cody.
duffel coat, scruffy hair, answers Doug.
Cody had seen the refugee family when they first arrived to view the flat. The father, a rather portly chap and sporting a neat beard, contrasting with a distinct lack of growth in the cranium area. No, that's not him. I don't know if any other refugees are heading for the village. At least not yet. You know Agnes, she's on the ball when it comes to local politics and stuff. Mystery man then, offers George.
After the Hilda incident 2 years ago, Sergeant Miller never did check in the Cleve garden. There is a simple reason for this. Miller knew that Vera Cleve stole gnomes. Everyone knew. He was going through the motions, knowing full well that the gnomes were being borrowed, maybe a sort of gnome holiday, with Vera as the landlady. Recently, however, there have been a spate of gnome robberies from shops and market stalls, not just temporary transfers from garden to garden. Everyone had got used to Vera. They knew the gnomes would eventually return to their rightful owner. Unfortunately for Vera, the sergeant also has a piece of evidence. The only market stall not losing gnomes is Vera's stall, from which she sells books, bric-a-brac and ornaments, including gnomes. Are you going to arrest me, Stephen?
If this carries on, I might have to.
I've been framed.
Vera, this isn't New York. This is Leaford Market. Why should you be framed?
You'll soon find out if you look hard enough, says Vera.
A quiet day at the cross. No one in the bar except Ted. The man doesn't open the door fully, but peers round it at the publican. Ted stares at the man, recognising him from the description Frank had provided. Good morning. Coming in for a drink? Asks Ted.
Money, not much.
Ted thinks he recognises the accent. How much do you have? He approaches the bar, holding an old leather purse and empties the contents onto the bar.
You see? Says the stranger.
Ted counts £1.78. Not enough for a pint. Have a half. I'll throw in a bag of crisps.
Tack.
At that, Ted's interest surges. My God, you're Swedish, aren't you?
No, remember.
Ted realises the man has a problem. He calls Sally, his wife, then opens the side door leading to their private rooms, beckoning the man through. What is your name? Ted asking in both English and Swedish. The man doesn't know who he is or how he arrived in the village, but he admits to creating the drawings and phrases. The stranger's English limited, but Ted starts to piece together the man's story, such as it is. Now he understands. Sally, call Dr. Roberts. Get him to come over as soon as.
Why, Ted?
This poor man has lost his memory.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!